Good afternoon and welcome to Aramis Communications Internet Radio. I am Ann Courtney.
This is Jim White.
We're both from the Legion of Mary, the Immaculate Conception Presidium of St. Mary of the Assumption Parish, located in Hocassin, Delaware, the United States of America. Today is November 23rd, 2018. We had some great things to celebrate here. This past week, November 21st, was the great feast of the Presentation of the Mother of God. We will also this afternoon be talking about the holy souls in purgatory, as November is still observed as the month for the holy souls in purgatory. And also in America, the United States celebrated the feast, annual feast of Thanksgiving. We will be discussing all three of those today prior to the Divine Mercy Chaplet, which is prayed weekly with you. The presentation of the Blessed Virgin Mary, as is known in the Old Testament, we read how Samuel and others were dedicated to God at an early age by their parents. They were presented at the temple to live there with the priests and be educated and brought up, consecrating their lives to God. According to tradition, there were lodgings in the temple where women also were housed while they devoted themselves to the divine service in the temple. It is our ancient Catholic tradition that our Blessed Mother Mary, while still an infant, was also offered to God by her parents and presented at the temple. This is what we celebrate as the Presentation of the Blessed Virgin Mary. The Greeks refer to this festival as the entrance of the Blessed Virgin Mary into the temple. The Mother of God herself, in her first moment of reason, consecrated herself to God, as all Christians are called to do. Every baptized Christian is bound, at their moment of reason, to dedicate their lives to God. However, unfortunately, so few do. We live in an age of self-love instead of love of God and willingness to live for Him. We owe Him everything, yet many of us never think of Him, much less thank Him or give Him credit or glory for our own works and successes. However, of ourselves, we can do nothing, and the good works that we do are His and not our own. The Blessed Mother spent her youth avoiding occasions of sin, keeping herself pure and holy. She carefully watched over her soul, always in prayer to the Father to help her. By making a vow of virginity to God, she led the way for other women to follow her example of purity. She remained in the temple and thus was separated from the world until her marriage to Saint Joseph. Mary is the heart of the church. This is why all works of charity spring from her. It is well known that the heart has two movements, systole and diastole. Thus, Mary is always performing these two movements, absorbing grace from her most holy Son and pouring it forth on sinners. That's traditionally attributed to St. Anthony of Mary Claret. This presentation was found from Catholic Exchange. Mary's presentation was celebrated in Jerusalem in the 6th century. A church was built there in honor of this mystery. The Eastern Church was more interested in the feast, but it does appear in the West that in the 11th century, although the feast at times disappeared from the calendar, in the 16th century, it did become a feast of the universal church. As with Mary's birth, we read of Mary's presentation in the temple only in apocryphal literature, in what is recognized as an unhistorical account. The Proto-Evangelium of James tells us that Anna and Joachim offered Mary to God in the temple when she was only 3 years old. This was to carry out a promise made to God when Anna was still childless. Though it cannot be proven historically, Mary's presentation has an important theological purpose. It continues the impact of the feasts of the Immaculate Conception, where Mary was proclaimed conceived without original sin, and of the birth of Mary. It emphasizes that the holiness conferred on Mary from the beginning of her life on earth continued through her early childhood and beyond. And the reflection. It is sometimes difficult for modern Westerners to appreciate a feast like this. The Eastern Church, however, was quite open to this feast and even somewhat insistent about celebrating it. Even though the feast has no basis in history, it stresses an important truth about Mary. From the beginning of her life, she was dedicated to God. She herself became a greater temple than any made by hands. God came to dwell in her in a marvelous manner and sanctified her for her unique role in God's saving work. At the same time, the magnificence of Mary enriches her children. We too are temples of God and sanctified in order that we might enjoy and share in God's saving work. We now would like to remind you about the importance of the month and observations as November of the Holy Souls in Purgatory. The observance of this was noted to you initially on November 1st, the start of this month. It is such an important month that we feel the urge to be reminding you again of the need to pray for the souls in purgatory. The month of November is dedicated to the holy souls in purgatory, observed by the Church Universal. The Church commemorates all her faithful children who have departed from this life, but have not yet attained the joys of heaven. St. Paul warns us that we must not be ignorant concerning the dead, nor sorrowful, even as others who have no hope, for the Lord himself shall come down from heaven, and the dead who are in Christ shall rise. The Church has always taught us to pray for those who have gone into eternity. Even in the Old Testament, prayers and alms were offered for the souls of the dead by those who thought well and religiously concerning of the resurrection. It was believed that they who had fallen asleep with godliness had great grace laid up for them, and that it is therefore a holy and wholesome thought to pray for the dead, that they may be loosed from sins. We know that a defiled soul cannot enter into heaven. Purgatory is not eternal. Its duration varies according to the sentence pronounced at each particular judgment. It may be prolonged for centuries in the case of the more guilty souls, or of those who, being excluded from the Catholic communion, are deprived of the suffrages of the Church, although by the divine mercy they have escaped hell. But the end of the world, which will be also the end of time, will close forever the place of temporary expiation. God will know how to reconcile his justice and his goodness in the purification of the last members of the human race, and to supply, by the intensity of the expiatory suffering, what may be wanting in duration. But whereas a favorable sentence at the particular judgment admits of eternal beatitude being suspended and postponed, and leaves the bodies of the elect to the same fate as those of the reprobate at the universal judgment, every sentence, whether for heaven or for hell, will be absolute and will be executed immediately and completely. The Church suffering and the Church militant constitute in their relations a second circle of the most vital activities. Of course, the Church suffering are the souls in purgatory, and the Church militant are those of us here on earth. The Church triumphant are those souls that have reached everlasting peace in God's heavenly kingdom. Having entered into the night wherein no man can work, the suffering Church cannot ripen to its final blessedness by any efforts of its own, but only through the help of others, through the intercessory prayers and sacrifices of those living members of the body of Christ who, being still in this world, are able, in the grace of Christ, to perform expiatory works. The Church has from the earliest times faithfully guarded the works of Scripture, that it is a holy and a wholesome thing to pray for the dead, that they may be loosed from their sins. It is also represented in numerous sepulchral inscriptions of the most ancient period, while theologians and fathers of the Church, beginning with Tertullian, have supplied its substantial proof. So fundamental indeed, and so natural to man's hope and desire and love, is this belief, that historians of religion have discovered it among almost all non-Christian civilized peoples, a striking illustration of Tertullian's saying that the human soul is naturally Christian. The Catholic, therefore, is jealous to expiate and suffer for the poor souls, especially by offering the Eucharistic sacrifice, wherein Christ's infinite expiation on the cross is sacramentally represented, and stimulating and joining itself with the expiatory works of the faithful, passed to the Church suffering according to the measure determined by God's wisdom and mercy. Indulgences. By the practice of indulgences, the Church places at the charitable disposal of the faithful the inexhaustible treasure accumulated from age to age by the superabundant satisfactions of the saints, added to those of the martyrs, and united to those of our Blessed Mother, and the infinite residue of our Lord's sufferings. These remissions of punishment she grants to the living by her own direct power, but she nearly always approves and permits their application to the dead by way of suffrage, that is to say, in the manner in which, as we have seen, each of the faithful may offer to God, who accepts it for another, the suffrage or succor of its own satisfaction. A partial indulgence can be obtained by devoutly visiting a cemetery and praying for the departed, even if the prayer is only mental. One can gain a plenary indulgence visiting a cemetery each day between November 1st and November 8th. These indulgences are applicable only to the souls in purgatory. A plenary indulgence, again applicable only to the souls in purgatory, is also granted when the faithful piously visit a church or public oratory on November 2nd, which is the Feast of All Souls. In visiting the church or oratory, it is required that Our Father and the Creed be recited. A partial indulgence, applicable only to the souls in purgatory, can be obtained when the eternal rest is prayed. This is a good prayer to recite, especially during the month of November, and is as follows. Eternal rest grant to them, O Lord, and let perpetual light shine upon them. May the souls of the faithful departed, through the mercy of God, rest in peace. Amen. And the Feast of Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is an historical holiday that is celebrated primarily in North America. It's celebrated on the fourth Thursday in November in the United States and on the second Monday in October in Canada. Although Thanksgiving is rooted in the history of the Pilgrims, who were Christian, known as Separatists, the holiday is generally no longer considered a real Christian holiday or a religious holiday, but simply as an occasion to gather with family, eat food, watch football and parades, and be thankful to the blessings of life. Of course, we Catholics know that the Christian roots of this holiday are truly the foundation and reason why it must be continued. The first Thanksgiving, the story of the first Thanksgiving in 1621 began when the colonists at Plymouth went out fowling, probably for food like geese and ducks rather than the hard-to-find turkeys back then, since they reported that in one day killed as much and served the company almost a week. Other items on the menu probably included fish, eels, shellfish, stew, vegetables, and beer, thus to be had at the first Thanksgiving dinner. The early colonists of New England regularly celebrated Thanksgiving after a military victory and to a drought or other favorable events. For example, a national Thanksgiving holiday was proclaimed upon the enactment of the Constitution. Christian separatists generally shunned holidays, for periodically proclaimed a day of thanksgiving, praise, in response to evidence of God's favor, for a day of humiliation and fasting in response to God's perceived displeasure of things that were done. The feast and fast days were usually held on the day of special sermons called Lecture Day, which was also a Thursday in Massachusetts. Thanksgiving became a national holiday when the first general day of Thanksgiving was proclaimed by President George Washington, who, at the request of Congress, recommended Thursday, November 26, to be for the people of the United States as a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many and signal favors from Almighty God. However, after 1798, the proclamation of a Thanksgiving Day was left to the states. For Southerners, were slow to admit this custom. Some objected to the federal government's involvement in religious observance, and others disliked the particular speeches and parades that came out customary for that day. Thanksgiving Day only became an official holiday once Northerners dominated the federal government. After the famous battle at Gettysburg, Abraham Lincoln proclaimed a national day of Thanksgiving to be held on August 5. Soon the public began to ask for an annual observance, and President Andrew Johnson established the last Thursday in November as the official Thanksgiving Day. Two attempts were made by later presidents to adjust the date, and it is finally, as is today, the fourth Thursday of November. Today, Thanksgiving holiday is a time when families gather together to eat food like turkey and trimmings, watch and play football, and enjoy parades. Its meaning has also changed over the years. The holiday associated with pilgrims and Native Americans has come to symbolize intercultural peace, America's opportunity for newcomers to be included, and the sanctity of home and family. In the United States, Thanksgiving is an official holiday on which all public business is suspended. It has become traditional for the president to pardon a turkey, a lucky turkey, from making it to anyone's Thanksgiving table. Also, Thanksgiving Day, once after pardoning the turkey, the free bird, the president says, through the generous country known as the United States of America, we hereby share in the hardships, yet we have never lost sight of the blessings around us, the freedoms we enjoy, the people we love, and the many gifts of our prosperous land. The Friday after Thanksgiving has become the unofficial start to the Christmas season for shopping and decorating. Many stores host sales on this day to encourage shoppers to begin their Christmas shopping, so as also the day to either flock to the malls or avoid malls completely, depending on one's temperament. Now also, Cyber Monday is surpassing the Black Friday shopping. We give thanks to our Lord never enough. Although there was one day observed as national time for our country to thank God Almighty for all the blessings, we should be more grateful people, and we as Catholics must be a better example and witness to remind people to thank our Lord daily, for we can never thank him enough for all that he has given us individually and as a human race.
Here at St. Mary the Assumption in Hokesson, Delaware. As to the history of the Divine Mercy Chaplet, in 1935, St. Faustina received a vision of an angel sent by God to chastise a certain city. She began to pray for mercy, but her prayers were powerless. Suddenly, she saw the Holy Trinity and felt the power of Jesus' grace within her. Then she found herself pleading with God for mercy with the words she heard interiorly.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us.
As she continued saying this inspired prayer, the angel became helpless and could not carry out the deserved punishment. The next day, as she was entering the chapel, she again heard this interior voice, instructing her now to recite the prayer that the Lord later called the chaplet. This time, after "Have mercy on us," were added the words, "and the whole world." From then on, she recited this form of prayer almost constantly, offering it especially for the dying. In subsequent revelations, the Lord made it clear that the chaplet was not just for her, but for the whole world. He also attached extraordinary promises to its recitation. "Encourage souls to say the chaplet which I have given you. Whoever will recite it will receive great mercy at the hour of death. When they say this chaplet in the presence of the dying, I will stand between my Father and the dying person, not as the just judge, but as the merciful Savior. Priests will recommend it to sinners as their last hope of salvation, even if there were a sinner most hardened. If he were to recite this chaplet only once, he would receive grace from my infinite mercy. I desire to grant unimaginable graces to those souls who trust in my mercy. Through the chaplet, you will obtain everything if what you ask for is compatible with my will." Prayed on ordinary rosary beads, the chaplet of the Divine Mercy is an intercessory prayer that extends the offering of the Eucharist, so it is especially appropriate to use it after having received Holy Communion at Holy Mass. It may be said at any time, but our Lord specifically told St. Faustina to recite it during the 9 days before the Feast of Mercy, the first Sunday after Easter. He then added, "By this novena of chaplets, I will grant every possible grace to souls." It is likewise appropriate to pray the chaplet during the Hour of Great Mercy, 3 o'clock each afternoon, recalling the time of Christ's death on the cross. In his revelations to St. Faustina, our Lord asked for a special remembrance of his passion at that hour. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Inspired Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. A fount of life unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and in the hour of our death. Amen.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord, Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord, Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, that in difficult moments we might not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. We will now pray the Novena for Priests from St. Faustina. O my Jesus, I beg you on behalf of the whole Church, give us holy priests. You yourself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great High Priest, may the power of your mercy accompany them everywhere and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of your mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests, for you can do all things. Jesus, Good Shepherd, you sent us the Holy Spirit to guide your church and lead her faithful to you through the ministry of your priests. Through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, grant to your priests wisdom in leading, faithfulness in teaching, and holiness in guarding your sacred mysteries. As they cry out with all the faithful, Abba, Father, may your priests be ever more closely identified with you in your divine sonship and offer their own lives with you, the one saving victim. Make them helpful brothers of one another and understanding fathers of all your people. Renew in your priests a deeper faith, greater trust in you, childlike reliance on your Mother Mary, and unwavering fidelity to the Holy Father and his bishops. Holy Mary, intercede for your priests. Saint Joseph, protect your priests. Saint Michael, defend them. Saint John Vianney, pray for them. Before we end our program today, we would like to announce that the Legion of Mary is still offering the new Patricians program, and we'll be meeting again Wednesday, December 19, 2018, for a discussion on the topic, Are We Still Able to Teach Authentic Morality? We will give you an update after then. We would like to thank our parish and our pastor, Father Dillingham, pastor at St. Mary of the Assumption Catholic Church, Hokesson, Delaware, in the United States of America. Also, we thank Tony McGinley of Aramis Communications. We thank A.J. Laporto, who provided the music. We thank the members of the Legion of Mary Immaculate Conception Presidium. And we thank you for listening today, and hopefully you will join us again next Friday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. We do welcome your comments. Please send them via email to legionofmary.internetradio@gmail.com. I repeat, Legion, which is spelled L-E-G-I-O-N, of Mary, dot internetradio@gmail.com. Keep us in prayer, and we will pray for you.